Okay.
So you ready?
Okay, Rob, just gently lift off that side.
Yeah.
Just prise this off.
Yeah, okay.
And just turn it over.
Right.
That's it.
No worries.
Righto.
Over. Oh, bit of weight in this.
Yep. Just pop it down here.
Okay.
All good.
How's that?
It's pretty damn good.
Wow.
So we've got a block of sediment with limestone concretion and actually fossilised fish remains, which is around 1,900 millimetres long by about 400 millimetres wide. We've just been spending the last day or two actually encasing the bottom part of the fish so that we can turn it over and re-expose the jacket. So if you think of something like a mummy in a tomb or a sarcophagus, this is how we treat these specimens to get them back to the shed here at Marathon, where we can actually spend a lot of time very carefully going through the process of preparing the fossil.
This is like a lot of the other specimens you found, but different in one particular way. Can you tell me why this one is a bit special?
Absolutely. The luck of actually finding a specimen in the bottom of a river channel that hasn't been entirely eroded away is incredibly lucky. So that means that this specimen has its tail almost complete, so we can actually see the tail fins in the caudal fin area at the very tail end. We have a beautiful line of vertebrae which are covered by these huge armoured scales that look like sort of giant fingernails with a ridge running through the middle. And through the middle of this specimen, we've had a lot of protective material of calcium carbonate, which is actually being concreted around the specimen. And that's part of the reason why it's been so well protected.
And it was found in the bottom of a riverbed in July, you said. What's the process of actually getting this thing out of the ground? And how long will it stay here? We are standing in a shed at Marathon Station. What's the process to get it then to a place where it can be exhibited and seen by other people?
Well, it took about a day for the team of 10 to actually get it out of the riverbank and actually onto the back of a four-wheel drive and back here to the shed where it was unloaded with a mini excavator. We've just spent 2 days actually getting the back of it jacketed and reinforced, and now we've turned it over and exposed the actual top side. So I imagine it's going to take me and maybe a couple other people a number of weeks to actually get the rocky material from the outside and expose the actual fossil remains. Of course, we'll be doing this very carefully because we're really interested to see what features are preserved. So, for instance, when an animal like this dies, quite often the periphery of the animal disappears and disintegrates, and we're hoping that the fins, like the dorsal fins or the anal fins and the pectoral fins, will be still preserved in this specimen. So that'll lead a lot of good information for a scientific paper or some research by students and so forth.
Will that process start here, or is it moving to a different location?
At this stage, we will spend a number of days working here. There's an option available for us to move it elsewhere to a better laboratory when we get the opportunity.
And now, this is a fish fossil, and a lot of people who know what sort of the Richmond and Huendon areas look like now, very dry and dusty and droughted, would think, what was this guy doing out here? Can you tell us a bit about how this landscape has changed over the years, why this fish would have been all the way out here?
Yes, absolutely. Queensland, from 128 million years to about 99 million years, had a large inland sea, which at various stages divided the continent in half. So you can imagine what the remnant of that giant inland sea is really the Gulf of Carpentaria, and that would have extended all the way down to South Australia at various stages during that period. So as a result of that, and we know this for fact, is because we find these amazing marine fossils in this outback arid environment today. So that's some evidence that we can learn about from fossils that tells us about ancient environments.
And I know you said this is already a pretty special find. Is it once in a lifetime, do you think, or do you think we might stumble across any more of these in the near future?
Fortunately, I seem to have multiple lifetimes. So if you think of it that way, I always come across fantastic things. So I'm probably very lucky in that respect. The opportunities to find further fantastic specimens in this environment is quite good, and we know for a fact that Marathon has produced some of the best specimens ever found in Australia and possibly the world of Australian vertebrate fossils and invertebrate fossils. So, yeah, the probability of finding more fantastic material is very high.